Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm Bart Winkler alongside Carlos Ortiz. And joined throughout the night by Marco Belletti on the updates and for good friendly times on occasion. And also you, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Big night in baseball. Clayton Kershaw becomes, I believe, just the 20th pitcher to ever throw 3,000 strikeouts. Did it tonight. Vinny Capra was the victim. Kershaw in this game, which is still going on against the White Sox, went six innings and struck out three, and he was three away. So he got it tonight. He can now call himself Mr. 3000. Excellent movie. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. More on that momentarily. Let's get to JD, who's been hanging in Sacramento. Thanks, JD. What's up with you?
Hey, what's up, Bart?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, it's an honor to talk to you, man. I've been listening to you for years. You and Carlos K, the best in the business, man. You are the guys.
That's very kind. Very kind.
No one even competes with you guys, man. Like, you guys make me laugh. You guys got the info. You guys, I listen to you every night. And if I can't listen to you, I listen to you on the Odyssey app. Every single night, man. You guys are the best. But what I call
when you bring a tear to my eye, my lord.
I'm glad I brought a tear to your eye, Bart. you're the man, my man. Like you're hilarious,
cool.
Man.
Let's
yeah,
cool.
you're hilarious. But what I called talked about might be a hot take. Might be a little bit of a hot take. A lot of people might not want to touch with a 10-foot pole, honestly. But I'll touch it. I'll stick that 10-foot pole out there. So Sophia Carpenter, right? We all heard about that story.
Yeah, it's Sophie Cunningham.
Sophie Cunningham. I'm sorry. I got her name wrong. Yeah.
You might be Sophie thinking Cunningham. Of Sabrina Carpenter.
Sabrina, yeah. I think a lot about Sabrina Carpenter.
For good reason.
Yeah.
Well, what American man doesn't. But, yeah. So she said that she didn't think that Detroit, Philadelphia, and Cleveland should be included into the league, right? And she was complaining, saying, oh, I would rather go to Miami or I'd rather go to Memphis and all this stuff. And that's just,
yeah,
that's total entitlement to me. Like, the WNBA is subsidized by the NBA. Like, you should be on your hands and knees thanking the WNBA for expanding. Like, it's amazing that league gets to expand when it's losing money. It doesn't make money. It's subsidized by the NBA.
So what's your take? Is that she's entitled?
Yeah, she's entitled. And I think most of the players in the league are entitled. I think Angel Reese is entitled. I think that all the players in the league think they're doing something wonderful when they're really kind of actually not. Like, you're just kind of getting by. Like, even including Caitlin Clark. You're really just getting by. You're not really doing anything amazing. You're not, like, setting records. Or, like, you're playing with a smaller ball. You're not doing it in anything that is, like, anything. Like, you're not doing anything special. You're not.
I think what is interesting in watching what's happening with the WNBA as it does get more coverage is there seems to be, like, pushback to the more coverage that they get. Because they want to be covered a certain way, but then some of the coverage is very bad. So I understand it.
It's terrible. Yeah. Some of the videos you see on Instagram about those back and forths, you know what I'm talking about them losing the ball. It goes out of bounds. They miss a rebound.
Yeah.
They miss a layup, you know, like you see that stuff all the time.
I think, JD, thanks for the call. You have a good night. All right.
All right. Thank you, Bart. I appreciate you, my man.
Yeah, thank you. The way that the league is cut, like, again, when I say some of the coverage is bad, it's like, this is sloppy, low-hanging fruit coverage. But it is getting bigger where all leagues are covered like that. I mean, a lot of leagues are covered bad. A lot of leagues are covered with nonsensical things, and they can't not allow it. I mean, if it's going to be covered, it's going to be covered. It is weird as the league grows up, if that's an appropriate enough term, and gets bigger. And then the whole Caitlin Clark aspect is, yeah, a lot of people are interested in watching her play. But then the players don't seem to be very receptive to that. So it's very weird. And with the Sophie Cunningham thing specifically, where the league's expanding, and she had said, I don't know how excited people are going to be to go to Detroit or Cleveland, and then identified Miami, Nashville, and Kansas City specifically as better cities to basically just be in. I don't know why that is something that you're even thinking. I mean, Detroit and Cleveland are like classic American sports towns. And as I said last night, there's a lot of good stuff going on there. Every city's good, every city's bad, every city's flawed, every city's the place to be. But it's not like we're expanding to cities that are unfamiliar with sports. It's Detroit. Cleveland. Sports are within the fabric of those cities. So it's just very weird that, I don't know, just a lot, there's a lot of unforced errors, but then that is something that gets coverage. I did think that the Fever, they won the Commissioner's Cup, which is their version of the NBA Cup. They had it first, the in-season tournament. And there was video of them like celebrating. I thought they celebrated that harder than the Thunder did, honestly. They had like live streams going and they were dancing and spraying bottles. And it's like the Thunder won. And then everybody had a Michelob Ultra. As who called it that, Chet?
Yeah, I was about to say that's not what it is.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I gotcha. Chet Holmgren called it a Michelob.
It is pretty funny. And but from now on, know. I'm going to call it the Michelob.
Yeah, he didn't know. So that was weird. I'll say that.
Just like their commercials. Those are very weird commercials.
Oh, like the challenge you do one?
Yeah, like I'll play you for those Michelobes. You know, and it's like, you know, 80-year-old William Dafoe and Catherine O'Hara.
Well, that was a Super Bowl commercial, you remember?
And they're still playing it.
Doesn't it feel weird when you see a Super Bowl commercial then after the fact?
Yeah, I mean, but I don't know if it's weird anymore, actually. That's where commercials go to make their grand entrance. That's their debut. That's the hard open. And you'll see those commercials for a couple of months. If they're good and if they suck, you'll see them for like 2 days and that's that.
Oh, I always thought you should just get them the night of. And I understand the bad business practice of that. But one thing we need to stop doing is here's the 39 commercials that are going to air tonight. You can see them all. And then they like do trailers for their Super Bowl commercial. We just are
that
so...
needs to stop that. Yeah, nobody cares. I do not need a Doritos teaser. like it's a Marvel movie.
Yeah, I know.
You can give me the Marvel movie trailer. Sure, I'm all in on that. But like, if at this point it's 2025, like you either know if you like a Dorito or not. I think a Dorito is a delicious chip. I don't need.
I put them on my sandwiches. I put the nacho cheese ones on my sandwiches.
That is a bold strategy, and I applaud you.
Mm-hmm. I got to get back on the taco Dorito. But once I pop, I can't stop. And I know that's Pringles, but it's the same thing.
What do you mean? What are you talking about? The Taco Bell Dorito taco they have?
Yeah.
They are good. I you won't catch me dead at Taco Bell, but when I am a zombie and I am there, I will crush two of those bad boys.
Mm, God, I know.
I can go for one right now.
So good. You mentioned Marvel. Should we do a 30-second spoiler-free reaction on Ironheart?
Yes, and I will try my heart to make this spoiler-free.
So my is the cliffhanger, they released three episodes. The cliffhanger for number three left me really excited for the next batch of episodes. I did at times feel a little bored watching it. I mean, I overall liked it and glad it exists, but then they set up storylines that I don't think are ever going to be resolved. So
yeah, piggybacking off of that, I thought it was an all right watch. Like you, there were points that I was just on my phone because I'm like, all right, just get to the point already. So a bit more filler than I like, but totally not the worst series that they've had in Disney Plus since they started doing this whole TV thing. Not the best. I think the best is still would be Loki season one. But pretty good. Pretty good on its own. And also, like you, not a fan of the cliffhanger, and also like you, the setup that we may never get a payoff on, it reminded me of all the payoffs that I'm still owed in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I think when we actually do get our Hour 5 podcast, we need to start holding Marvel accountable for everything that we're owed in terms of these payoffs.
Well, Secret Invasion, that was the worst thing I've ever
seen.
We
can bury that one. That's straight up, like, 6 feet's not enough.
Yeah. Let's get to Jeff in New Orleans. Jeff, welcome back. What's up?
Well, good evening to the host and executive producer.
That's right.
Of the world's greatest free sports show on earth.
Yep, free 99. No charge.
For now.
Am I right?
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Well, hell yeah, I'm right. I got all the guys at the local watering hole down here listening now. They're going to probably start calling in once they get used to the program. But anyway, yeah, your ratings are going to be going sky high through the roof, Bart. Don't worry about it. While I was in the green room on hold, I heard you know, a couple of comments that I just wanted to make. You know, I've never had COVID, and I think the reason is, you know, being in the Marines, you get about 12 vaccines a year, especially if you're going on deployment, you get more than that. So I've been having that many for the last 24 years. I'm sure I'm sterile right now, but it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm 47 years old. That's the last thing I'm thinking about. On the stamps part, I heard that too. You know, I have not put a postage stamp on an envelope or any package in at least a year. And the same thing with writing a check. I do everything on my iPad. You know, I just don't have a reason to send a letter out or a bill.
I think I wrote four checks last month. We had a wedding, two grad parties, and the only way my municipality will take the water bill is by check. I had a four check month. Can you believe it?
I can't. I don't think I've written that many in the last 5 years, but I mean, except I was writing rent checks for a while, but now they went online too, so that's cool. But anyway, shout out to Carlos. I'm having me a little glass of Silver Oak 1998 right now. And it's Cabernet. I'm sure Carlos likes that. But anyway, Bart, I really appreciate a shout out to Carlos again because of that wonderful, just absolutely beautiful explanation he gave of the whereabouts of Mr. Negative. I understand now that he has no control over that guy. I just thought that maybe Carlos and Mr. Negative were like you and the Bartometer. He just brought him home every night, put him there, and brought him out when he was. But I was wrong about that. But anyway, if you ever see him, either one of you, bump into him, grab his AWOL ass and drag him in for just one more cameo, and we'll put him to bed forever.
We'll get on it. You will hear from Mr. Negative again at some point, I'm sure.
All right. Bart, I'm not going to ask you what do you want to talk about, okay? I pretty much said what I say. But I will give a little shout-out to Barry because normally when he comes up with a Charlie Foxtrot like that, he follows it up with a pretty good call. So I'm waiting on him tonight.
You are right, Jeff. Have a good night, Jeff. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, sir. I'll talk to you soon.
Barry does usually I think he can find it when he wants to. If anyone's trolling me, it's him. I got a check once. I'm trying to remember what it was for. But it was for 2 cents. What the hell would I have gotten a check for 2 cents?
What, were you in a class action lawsuit where it was like everybody on the planet was also in that lawsuit?
I think it was like... I think it was like... when you cancel something and then you would get a partial refund. So I must have canceled my cable with like 4 hours left of the cable for the month before the billing.
2 cents for 4 hours is a steal.
I once got a 25-cent check as a tip as a waiter. She wrote me a check for 25 cents.
Oh, my God. I wish I had a witty reply. That's terrible.
Can I tell you the one time I've stolen money?
Please. I just can't in return tell you the thousands of times that I have.
When I was in college, I did the cable bill. So I collected money from everyone every month and wrote the check. And then we moved out and then I got like a $200 because you pay in advance, and I just kept it. I never told the guys that we got a refund. So I essentially stole $50 from each of my roommates.
Don't be surprised if you get that that Zelle request tomorrow morning, because your guy just happens to be listening to the show right now.
Well, I looked at it as, I take care of it, and I,
admin fees.
Yeah, that's what I looked at it as. I mean, checks aren't free. You know what I mean?
You know what's not free? The time and hassle it takes you to manage all of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, why doesn't the bank give you free checks? Maybe yours does.
Well, no, yeah, mine does. You think I ever paid for a book of checks?
I got to pay for a book obsolete? Of checks. Yeah, I got to pay for a book of checks.
You got the wrong bank, brother.
Ugh.
Ugh. What do you want, Fond du Lac savings and loans? Tell them to step it up.
Savings and loans. Yeah, FDLSL. I just think it's funny you remembered where I'm born.
I mean, bring it up twice a week.
I do not. Fond du Lac County, wake up to what we've got.
Which is?
Herpes.
When I ask the question, which is, the answer shouldn't be crickets.
All right. I got to talk about Clayton Kershaw. So we're going to do that. 888-710-4ISN. We'll be back. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Prior to tonight, just 19 pitchers have done this. Courtesy of Sportsnet LA.
The ravine rises, ready to erupt.
Kershaw in front of a packed Dodger Stadium. His 3,000th strikeout tonight. Vinny Capra was the victim. Oh, he got him looking. Now, it was bottom corner, outside corner. I don't know. If I was Vinny Capra and I could be in the record books, I think I'd just take the pitch looking.
Yeah, I would too. And how about Freddie Freeman walking it off for the Dodgers too? So it's like, if you're a Dodgers fan, this is a straight up storybook night for you.
Yeah, those cheers were sixth inning cheers, by the way. He ended the inning, and that was the last pitch he threw tonight. He needed three strikeouts to get to 3,000, and he got them. Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers win 5-4. As Carlos mentioned, a Freddie Freeman walk-off single. 5-4, they came back against the White Sox. They were down 4-2. They were down 4-2 when Kershaw exited the game. And then the Dodgers put up three in the ninth. So, man, what a game that was. Now, the White Sox bad, but they're providing good entertainment. And isn't that all that you ask for? Isn't that what sports are? So, Clayton Kershaw, again, 9 hits, 4 earned. The 3 strikeouts are the important stat. And he joins a club which is very, very small. Just 20 pitchers have struck out 3,000 or more batters. Now, one guy is far ahead of anybody, and that is Nolan Ryan at 5,714. 3 pitchers in the 4K club, Randy Johnson, 4,875. Roger Clemens and Steve Carlton. The 3,000 members, anybody with 3,000 or more, up to 3,700. Burt Bylevin, Tom Seaver, Don Sutton, Gaylord Perry, Walter Johnson, Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer, Greg Maddux, Phil Niekro, Ferguson Jenkins, Pedro Martinez, Bob Gibson, Curt Schilling, CC Sabathia, John Smoltz, and now Clayton Kershaw. So just 20 have done it. This was the first time that it was achieved since Scherzer in September of 2021. So quite the accomplishment. There was a pretty big gap between 86 and 98 before it was done again. And then there's a big gap between 2008 and 2019, Smoltz and then Sabathia. And then people wonder, is anybody going to do it again? Who's going to do it again? The closest guy right now is Chris Sale. And he is 36. He has 2,528 strikeouts. 2,528. Let's see. If he throws, he threw 225 last year. He's got 114 so far on this season. So he could do it if he gets up to, I think he'd have to pitch till he's 39. He's been pitching well, right? He's been pitching well. He's Cy Young last year. So Chris Sale could do it. He would be next. And then after that, Garrett Cole is 34. He's got 2,200, of course, hurt this year. Charlie Morton is still active. He's not going to, he's 20, he's 900 away. He's 41 years old. Yu Darvish, who's like the youngest guy that's within any sort of striking distance? Or that even has 1,000. There's only 3 pitchers in their 20s with at least 1,000 strikeouts. And they'd all be 29. So Dylan Cease has 1,133. Freddy Peralta has 1,047. And Jack Flaherty is 1,042. So this is one of those baseball records that you wonder, will it ever not be broken, but will we ever see one again? Will we ever see one again? Because pitching is different. But also, there's 3 true outcomes. There's a lot more strikeouts than there's been. But pitchers just don't go as deep anymore. Pitchers don't go as deep. What's the other big one? 300 wins. List of current. I like Googling while I'm on the air. I don't do prep in between the breaks. I just Google on the air. Well, because I'm thinking on the fly. List of current pitchers wins. Okay. Active wins. So 300 wins has been a benchmark, which that may never happen again. I mean, how's that ever going to happen again? 300 wins. Justin Verlander's got 262 wins. Kershaw's got 216. Scherzer's got 216. And those are the three guys that just most recently got in the 3,000K club. Gerrit Cole, 153. Chris Sale. I mean, pitchers, there's so many games where they don't get a decision in anymore. And they don't go as deep as they used to. When I would collect baseball cards, you know, pitchers' wins were, they made sense because it was like one guy pitched. You had guys go 7, 8, 9 innings. I would like to see that again. I miss those days. I miss a lot. I think I miss a lot about baseball. I think I miss the lack of interleague play. I'm like the only person on planet Earth that would go back, not missing interleague play, but missing before that. I'm the only person that would go back. I miss when we cared about batting average. I miss when we cared about that because somehow that's not important anymore. We just don't care. How many guys are over 300 right now anyway? In all of baseball, you want to take a stab at that, Carlos? How many guys are over 300?
I'll take a look.
You'll take a what?
I'll take a look.
Oh, I wanted you to take a guess.
Oh, take a guess of how many major leaguers right now are over 300?
How many major leaguers, both National League and American League, are over 300? Marco can play, too.
All right, I'm going to take a guess at, because nobody cares about batting average anymore. It's all about OPS, but even still, people take either walks or strike out a lot, launch angles, velo, all that crap. I'm going to say 32.
32 players in all of baseball, so that's one a team. And then some. All right, Marco, how many players are hitting at least 300 in baseball?
Everybody sucks. I'm going to say 6.
Marco's closer. 12.
That's an abomination.
That's awful. I thought my number was low.
12. Jose Ramirez, Jake Myers, Josh Naylor, Ernie Clement. Who is that?
All right, hold on, because I don't have that Snoop drop, and this one definitely is a Snoop drop, and here's Snoop.
Who?
Ernie Clement sounds like a guy that played in the 50s.
Now, these are all guys that don't have like 6 at-bats, right? Correct?
Right, minimum plate appearances are important.
Yeah, he's got Ernie Clement plays for Toronto.
Yeah, he's on the Blue Jays. Baseman. Yeah, no, I actually know who he is. Yes.
Yeah, he's got 7 at bat. No, I'm just kidding. He's got 277 at bats. Mikael Garcia, Alejandro Kirk, Freddie Freeman, Jonathan Aranda, Jeremy Pena, Will Smith, Jacob Wilson, Aaron Judge.
Wow, that's it. That's the list.
There was a year, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, it was like 4 guys for the entire season that hit over 300.
Telling you, yeah, it's all about launch angles and velo and all that stuff.
9 are in the American League, just three in the National
League.
It's
a disgrace.
But we don't, like, there was, oh my God, I was so pissed. The last baseball game I was at, because I don't even think Milwaukee shows batting average anymore on the scoreboard. I think they show OBP and slugging and OPS. That's what they show. And then, you know where it goes runs, hits, errors?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my kid's looking at the score, and he's like, which one of those are the score? And I go, oh, it's the R, runs. And then that shows you how many hits they have, and then errors. And then it goes right next to errors. It says MVR.
What?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what is MVR?
Mm-hmm.
And why is it there? Mound visits remaining.
Like we care.
Yeah. Nobody is. Does anyone ever go over their mound visits? They made it such a dumb number. 6.
Great.
6.
But it's one of those where it's like, you know, there's only 4 mound visits remaining. good for you. What the hell do I care?
Right. I want to hear the guy in the bleachers going, hey, hey, that's his seventh one, bro. That's his seventh visit. Get him out of here.
Jeez. Like, they're not like their timeout. It's like, could you imagine the next day on a sports radio show? It's like, I can't believe he used his mound visit in the second inning. You gotta save those.
Bro, what, you had six mound visits remaining. I mean, you can't carry them over to tomorrow. What the hell are you
right,
doing?
Like burning timeouts in your pocket.
Like, what are we doing? Who cares?
You can't take them with you. You gotta use those mound visits.
Right. You that we care about. Whether a guy hits 210 or 330 doesn't matter. But how many mound visits remaining, that I need to know every single inning and every at-bat. Please.
Are there rules like, you know, because there's time between pitches, but if you're couldn't a team like try to get in a batter's head by just continually doing mound visits for like one inning, just like use all five mound visits in one inning, slow them down? Is that a strategy?
What do you mean, like icing the kicker in baseball?
Yeah, yeah. Like if a team's on a rally, just keep throwing the mound visits.
I may be speaking out of turn, but I think you need a mound visit to be able to change the pitcher. No? These are not just discussion mound visits. Don't you like have to?
No, I think it's just any mound visit. Anytime you visit the mound.
Yeah, if you use them all in the fourth inning, you may not be allowed to change pitches unless it's in between innings. I don't know if you want to do that. That might be a bold strategy that could backfire. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, you're right. You're right. You're right.
Yeah. Guy's throwing 63 pitches out of the pen in the seventh inning, can't get an out. Like, I'm out of mound visits. The hell with them. Burn them. I don't think that's something you want to do. No.
Can a manager just make the change from the dugout? I'm like, hey, I'm not coming out. Hey, dude, just get off the field.
Well, he's got to take the baseball from him.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't have to. I mean, that's the dumb
thing. Throw the baseball over here. I'll throw it at the next guy.
I mean, like, you could just leave it on the mound. It's not like. You can hand it to the catcher. I don't think that baseball – pretty sure the next guy is not actually using that baseball anyway. I'm pretty sure he's going to throw it away.
You could do it. The time to do it then would be in the ninth inning with your closer. But, geez, closers, they have such a rhythm. They would never go for that. You ask a closer, hey, could you possibly get an out for me in the eighth inning? What? Huh? Like, it's a foreign concept and a foreign sport to them. These people that won't throw – two innings are insane.
Don't ask him to intentionally walk somebody either without even throwing the four pitches that threw him off. Those 4 seconds, yeah. Whew, I messed them
You're
up.
You're right. Creatures of habit, and that's why most of them are terrible. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's get an update. Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show. Wrapping things up. As we head into Thursday, Carlos and I will be enjoying the holiday, and then we'll be back on Monday. Is that, should I say that or should I not?
Please do.
I never know what to do, because I want to trick you and make you think that we're still in, and then you listen, and then you're listening anyway. You're in good hands, though. The people that will be here are... she'll be doing Thursday. I think David Shepard's in Friday. I think that's the case.
He kept coming, man.
Yeah. He wouldn't stop.
He never stopped coming.
Oh, Shep's in tomorrow. And then Jacob Albrecht on Friday. All right, you're in good hands. Look at that. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Jay is in Las Vegas. Jay.
El Pardo, it is Mr. Mediocrity, Jay in Vegas. How you
there
doing,
it goes.
My brother?
What's up?
I just want to say that this is the last 3,000 strikeout pitcher we'll ever see, for sure. And also, DeAndre Ayton. I won, you know, a 10-cent bet that means more to me than DeAndre Ayton to the Lakers. Like, what's going on here? Like, what is happening with the Lakers? This used to be the premier franchise. Of course, they got bought by the Dodgers owner. We know that. But what's going on? We hear LeBron's going to leave. Like, I don't know what's going on, man. Love the show. Love to hear from you. And take care, brother.
Yeah, thanks for the call. The vibes around the Lakers 2 weeks ago were a lot better when Mark Warner took over the, or is announced that he's going to take over as the primary owner for the club, and then they can start spending money more like the Dodgers can. And while there are more salary cap restraints in basketball, the NBA, than in Major League Baseball, there are still things that he can do with the franchise in terms of scouting and all that kind of stuff. And just, you know, amenities, hiring. You know, there's a lot of people you can hire in basketball that aren't beholden to a second apron. So there's a lot of that that can happen. And they were very excited and optimistic, and now they haven't really done anything in free agency, and there's weird feelings around LeBron, or at least that's what it seems like with the statement that he put out about he realizes the Lakers are planning for the future. There's the reports that they totally are planning for the summer of 2027 to maybe get another guy in a max deal, whether they got their eyes on a Giannis who could opt out or a Nikola Jokic to team up with Luka. Does LeBron even like playing with Luka? Can that fit? You know what they say, when you get a couple playmakers on a team, there's only one basketball. There's only one basketball. DeAndre Ayton, the question that people are going to have about him is his effort and how committed he's going to be. That's been a problem with his. The word that people use to describe how he plays is floats. He kind of floats on the court, like up and down the court. Jason Quick at The Athletic wrote, in the end, the Blazers, who had released him, waived him, bought him out, couldn't live with his bad ways. The tardiness to team flights and practices, according to a team source, the skipping of rehab appointments, fans saw him slam chairs when he was taken out of games, and a team source said there were tantrums in the locker room when he was sidelined for poor effort. Do we remember the story from not this last January, but about a year and a half ago, where he could not get to a game against the Brooklyn Nets because he was trapped in his house due to a snowstorm? So he couldn't get out of his house because he couldn't get the ice cleared. And people even came. Ayton tried for hours to combat the sheet of ice leading out of his neighborhood, and team sent people to help as well, but to no avail. So he did not play in the game against Brooklyn that night. He also, when he got drafted, was asked, what are your goals in the league? And he said, to get a second contract, which I appreciate. I can appreciate that. Because that means, yeah, you're thinking about the money, but that means you would be good. You get a second contract, that means you would be pretty good. So, DeAndre Ayton heading to the Los Angeles Lakers. All right, we're going to wrap things up as we do. It's time for tonight's WTF.
You don't have to go home, but we have to get the heck out of here.
Oh! Shut it down! Oh, let's go home!
Here's tonight's Winkler's thrilling factoid.
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
Your nightly WTF.
What did you say?
Wait, WTF? What the?
Oh, my God.
Only on the Bart Winkler Show.
Not to be confused, of course, with the book WTF, Welcome to Florida, which is written by my parents. Check it out wherever you get books. How about the Pittsburgh Pirates? Are we noticing them? We could have given them some love in Worst in Five if we didn't take a 9-minute phone call beforehand. But against the Mets, they beat the Mets 9-1, then 9-2, then 12-1. They just had a series against St. Louis where they won three consecutive games going back to Monday, 7-0, 1-0, and 5-0. They have won six straight and have outscored their opponents 43-4 during that stretch. That is the most runs scored over a six-game span while allowing four or less runs in MLB history. For the Cardinals, that's three straight games that they got shut out by the Pirates. It is the first time that they've been shut out three straight times since September of 2022. It's the first time they were shut out for a three-game series since October of 2015 against the Braves. It's the first time they were shut out for a three-game series at Pittsburgh since October of 1976. So a tough couple of days for the Cardinals, but a real good week for the Pittsburgh Pirates. That'll wrap things up for tonight. Thanks to Carlos Ortiz. Thanks to Marco Belletti. And thanks to all of you. Have a great weekend, however long of it that you get. We'll be back on Monday. Pat Boyle up next. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.